A production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Pleasure of calling this meeting of Senate State Affairs to order this morning. Ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah, Hansen,
here.
Heideprim,
here.
Knutson, Olson,
here.
Roden,
here.
Tarifari, Gray, Dempster.
Motion for the minutes. We have a motion. We have a second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. First item on the agenda is House Bill 1009, requires certain tax refund claims for construction projects and certain documents and records in support of tax refund claims for construction projects to be filed within certain time periods. Do we have proponents? Proponents of House Bill 1009.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jan Talley, Department of Revenue and Regulation.
Welcome, Jan.
Thank you. House Bill 1009 is an act to require certain tax refund claims be filed within certain time periods. Currently, an application can be approved for a refund permit, and the refund applicant never files for a refund. They must file for a permit within 180 days of construction, and then they usually have a 36-month window to file for the refund. And if the project is over $60 million, they have a 72-month window. At the end of construction periods or during the period of construction, they can file claims for refund, usually on a monthly or a quarterly basis. What this bill does is it places a time limit when they can file for the refund. When the 36-month period is done, the taxpayer has 12 months to file for a refund. This would close out a lot of our refunds. We currently on our books have about six projects that have never filed for a refund. They have a permit in place, but they've never filed any refund documentation. Some of the problems encountered by the Department of Revenue in dealing with these old claims is the taxpayer does not have any records. If they don't file immediately, the records are gone. Also, prime contractors may be out of business, and the applicant cannot obtain the information. A lot of these large projects, it's not a state contractor, and they may be long gone by the time they file for a refund. And portions of the refund are denied due to lack of supporting documents. Dealing a lot of times on these refunds, if they wait till 3 years after the project starts, we're dealing with large amounts of data, and they can't get the data together to file for the refund. So what this bill simply does is it puts 12 months. They can file 12 months after the end of that period, and if they file after the 12 months, we have the authority to deny the refund. Thank you. I'll stand by for questions.
Other proponents of House Bill 1009? Other proponents? Other proponents? Do we have opponents? Opponents? Close for committee discussion under action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gray.
I move to pass.
We have a due pass motion from Senator Gray. If we have a second from Senator Olson. We have a motion. We have a second. Is there discussion? Ask Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Heideprim.
Aye.
Knutson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Dempster.
Aye. I think I hear a consent motion. Consent, Senator Gray, second. Senator Olson, we have a motion, we have a second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? HB 1009 goes to the consent calendar. That brings us to House Bill 1251 to impose an additional tax on the proceeds of Deadwood Gaming. Proponents of House Bill 1251.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Neil Fulton, Office of the Governor, and we are here on House Bill 1251. House Bill 1251, as it currently stands, represents a compromise between the Governor's office and the representatives of the Deadwood industry. Like any good compromise, it bears the hallmark that we're both a little bit disappointed with it. If you recall 1251 in its original form, It was a bill to increase the license fee per machine from $2,000 to $3,000. I will let some folks from the industry describe the technical aspects of why that's not particularly livable for them to have a sunk upfront cost that they have to deal with. We worked with them then to increase the rate of taxation on the adjusted gross revenues from Deadwood Gaming from 8% to 9%. Our current best estimate is that based on the existing tax, we would drag in another $1 million a year from Deadwood. In conjunction with the penny slots bill that I believe is on the floor for you, perhaps on today's calendar, certainly this week, our estimate is that that would bring in another $500,000 for a total of $1.5 million from Deadwood. Originally, our proposal was $4 million. I would point out, too, that I think there is one benefit to this bill that is not present in the original 1251 that makes it a good compromise from our perspective. The original bill was fixed. We gained another $1,000 per machine. There is some discussion of ongoing expansion in Deadwood for the Ramcota project, for the project that some of you may know out there as the Slime Plant, which is the big and rich concert venue. Certainly with the Ramcota convention facilities, there is the potential for more convention business and more play in Deadwood, and our $1 million may grow into more than that. And we certainly have an opportunity as a percentage of the adjusted gross proceeds to grow with that, which we didn't have with the original bill. So we feel like this is a good compromise. It's going to help us address our structural deficit problem on an ongoing basis. We appreciate the industry working with us to get to a compromise that we can all live with, and I would request your support for the bill, and I'd stand by for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Further proponents on House Bill 1251.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tom Nelson, State Senator, District 31, which is Lawrence County. I was here in strong opposition to the original 1251. The bill not only would have levied an excessive tax on the industry that I've been part of for 20 years, but it really just didn't make sense. I do applaud and appreciate the governor's office for understanding and realizing that the proposed tax hike, fee hike of $1,000 was not in the best interest of any concerned. In fact, it certainly would have been devastating to all, crippling to some, and fatal to others. All this, and it probably would have raised a fraction of the projected $4 million. The new 1251, as presented by the governor's office, provides for an additional tax that will certainly sting, but will not have the damaging effects that 1251 had in its original form. Deadwood Gaming is not the established stable industry which many believe. We are just as subject to the peaks and valleys of the economy, perhaps more so. Many of our businesses have been sold and bought several times, and several on Main Street are in the first few years of their mortgages with hefty monthly payments. So any sort of tax or fee increase would certainly be painful. All that said, I just will conclude by reminding everyone that Deadwood has tried to do their part. Since 1989, $54 million to the state through the Gaming and Racing Commission, Tourism, State Historical Society, and the General Fund, $8 million to Lawrence County, $1.5 million to Lawrence County Schools, $1.5 million to the communities of Leeds, Spearfish, St. Ange, and Whitewood. Many have said that it's time for Deadwood to step to the plate. I simply offer that Deadwood has been at the plate since day one and has many times brought the silverware and napkins as well. With that, I encourage you to support 1251, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Further proponents of House Bill 1251.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Lauren Pankratz. I'm the registered lobbyist for the Deadwood Economic Development Corporation, and we are here today in support of House Bill 1251 as amended. Mr. Fulton and Senator Nelson have done a more than adequate job of explaining how we arrived at this amended version. I would point out to you that that 1% increase, taking it from 8% to 9%, that 1% goes directly to the general fund. It keeps it out of the current 8% formula and how those funds are distributed throughout Deadwood and the schools and county and city. So this 1% increase does go directly to the general fund. And so I did. With that said, Mr. Chairman, I will be available for questions.
Other proponents? Do we have opponents? Close for committee discussion and interaction.
Chairman?
Senator Knutson.
I'd move to pass.
We have a do pass motion from Senator Knutson. We have a second from Senator Idaprim. We have a motion. We have a second. Is there discussion? Discussion? Ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Idaprim?
Aye.
Knutson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye. Senator?
Aye.
We have a consent motion. Do we have a second?
Chairman can.
That then brings us to House Bill 1129. House Bill 1129, to ensure the integrity of pipelines to be used for the transportation of carbon dioxide for the purpose of enhanced oil recovery or geologic carbon sequestration. Proponents of House Bill 1129.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Representative Alden Niger, District 17, speaking on behalf of House Bill 1129.
Representative, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. The PUC has siting authority over pipelines in the state of South Dakota. However, that authority does not include CO2 pipelines. Basin Electric announced a year ago their preferred site for a next-generation coal-based power plant. In order to get that plant built, Basin believes the process must include carbon capture. And if they capture it, they will need to sequester it and hope to do so via a pipeline to the oil fields for enhanced oil recovery. And with that being said, I would move aside for someone to speak who knows what they're talking about.
Other proponents. Thank you for the admission. Other proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's a tough act to follow. I don't know if I'm the person that knows what they're talking about. My name is Hunter Roberts with the Department of Tourism and State Development. Just as Representative Nygaard said, this bill was bought as sort of a constituent bill. We worked with Basin Electric, who does have a project in the hopper. We're talking the next gen projects, billions of dollars of South Dakota investment. Carbon dioxide, if you ever watch the national media, is certainly a national issue and a global issue that's happening now. Basin Electric believes that carbon dioxide will need to be addressed in the future. Department agrees with that to some degree. This bill is a way to just give Basin Electric and other interested business opportunities in South Dakota an idea of what the framework is and what sort of steps they will need to go through. I guess in my experience, it's rare when a business decides that they do want a clear regulation on them. And this is that opportunity. Basin Electric came to us. They said, we want to do a carbon dioxide pipeline, or we're certainly considering it. We don't know what the laws are. Our department looked at the laws. We worked with the South Dakota PUC, and we kind of all agreed that there was no current statutory authority, and certainly in this circumstance, statutory authority for PUC siting of those pipelines is appropriate and should be enacted. I guess I would ask that you support the bill. Thank you.
Other proponents of House Bill 1129? Other proponents?
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Steve Kolbeck, and I am a commissioner with the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. The reason I am testifying today is to relay to you our thoughts about our jurisdiction with this bill. It is my opinion and the opinions of my fellow commissioners, Dusty Johnson and Gary Hansen, that this bill will not adversely affect our office. The PUC is currently granted the authority to site facilities listed in 4941B-2. This bill would amend the law to include carbon dioxide. My fellow commissioners and I do not feel that this will have a significant effect on our budget or our staff. We are familiar with the legality, such as filing notices and public hearings of siting projects as big as this. We are not seeking this new authority, but we do not oppose it. The PUC will gladly serve the state as this bill proposes if the legislature wishes us to. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Chris Vandeventer, and I represent Basin Electric Power Cooperative in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Welcome, Chris.
As has been said before, we are looking at building a coal generation plant in Selby, South Dakota. Just a little bit of background, we are a generation and transmission cooperative. We serve 126 member cooperatives in 9 states. In South Dakota, we serve all the rural electric cooperatives in the state, either through East River Electric Power, Rushmore Electric Power, or directly to the co-op itself. As we look at this new coal plant in Selby, we are looking at ways that we might need to mitigate the carbon dioxide issue. We think this issue is coming to the forefront at the federal level, and we want to be leaders in this effort to try and address what looks like to be a concern as it relates to siting and building a coal-fired power plant in this country. To that end, we are looking at the pipeline to possibly capture and sequester CO2 out of this facility. Basin Electric is no stranger to operating CO2 pipelines. We currently have a 205-mile CO2 pipeline from one of our Synfuels plants in Beulah, North Dakota, and it ships about 3 million tons of CO2 per year to the oil fields in Saskatchewan for enhanced oil recovery. As we started looking at ways to preliminarily route a pipeline in South Dakota, we realized that there was no existing authority, and we do believe that we need some sort of guidance and standards to follow. We want to be compliant with the law and think that this legislation would provide that authority to the PUC and allow us to go forward with pipeline routing if we were to go ahead with a capture and sequestration opportunity. A couple of the concerns that we've heard throughout this debate is one is safety. I do have some pamphlets here on safety related to our pipeline in North Dakota if the committee is interested. One thing is to point out is CO2 is not a hazardous substance, but the high pressures and supercritical nature of the gas as we compress it and transport it requires us to be regulated by federal pipeline safety rules. And we are very committed to the landowners and notification and allowing and letting people know what the nature of the facilities that would be going through their land would be. As far as landowners, we have a very good relationship with our landowners in the area. All 126 of our co-ops are member owners. A lot of our member owners are landowners themselves. We recently sited a 140-mile transmission line in Wyoming and was able to negotiate easements with all the landowners along the route. And we believe that throughout any right-of-way, as we were to seek easements for this pipeline, we would treat the landowners with the utmost fairness and equality as we can. With that, I would end my comments and would stand by for questions.
Thank you. Other proponents of House Bill 1129? Other proponents? Opponents of House Bill 1129. Opponents? Close for committee discussion and action.
Move to pass.
We have a due pass motion from Senator Gray. We have a second from Senator Roden. Do I take that question as a second?
Yeah.
We have a motion. We have a second. Is there discussion, Senator Roden?
Did we have question period?
You certainly can.
Representative Nygaard, on page 4, line 18, apparently I'm just reading this wrong, but you've added the words transmission lines. Going back to the sentence before, transmission line of 200 kV or more, or transmission lines for coal, gas, liquid hydrocarbons, liquid hydrocarbon products, or carbon dioxide. I'm just not following the transmission lines for coal, gas, or hydrocarbons. What does that mean?
Well, I'm going to ask I share your concern. Traditionally, you think of a transmission line as power generation.
Yep.
However, I think they're using the word as a term of art and suggesting that transmission line can be used for power generation. Go ahead.
Chris Van Deventer, Basin Electric. Mr. Chairman, Senator Roden, that is, again, as Representative Agard said, it's sort of a term of art. If you look back up on page, further up on page 4, under existing law, where they define pipelines, they refer to a gas or liquid transmission line. So it's just consistency with existing law. I don't know why the law originally said transmission line for gas as opposed to saying pipeline, but it's just to be consistent with the current law.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, as long as you're there, perhaps you could also, on page 1, line 14, carbon dioxide molecules compressed in a supercritical state. Do you have a definition for supercritical? Does that just mean that it's compressed to the state where a gas becomes a liquid?
Pretty much. It's a gas that behaves like a liquid at really high pressures and severely low temperatures.
Well, I'm sorry, Charles and Boyle's law, once you compress something to a supercritical point, you also decrease the temperature down to near absolute zero, not absolute zero, but closer. It's almost like the nitrogen you have compressed in a tank for artificial insemination, the temperature of that.
Or propane.
Exactly.
Thank you.
We have a motion. We have a second. Is there discussion? Motion, second, discussion. Ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdallah?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Heidepram?
Aye.
Knudsen? Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
7-0-2.
Motion passes. Was there no one?
No.
Motion 4.
Move consent.
We have a consent motion, Senator Gray. Second from Senator Roden. We have a motion, second, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. House Bill 1129 moves to the consent calendar. Then brings us to House Bill 1276, revise certain provisions regarding the application for tax refunds for the construction of certain agricultural processing and new business facilities. Do we have proponents for House Bill 1276? Proponents for House Bill 1276, we will be at ease for about 5 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I might point out that they were the company wanting this bill was not only late filing their application, but they're late for the committee meeting today.
This committee meeting back to order. House Bill 1276, revised certain provisions. Do we have proponents of House Bill 1276? Proponents.
Good morning, Senators, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Brett Kennecke. I'm a lawyer from Pierre and registered lobbyist for Iberdrola Renewables.
Welcome, Brett.
Thank you, Senators. We had expected this bill to be in the Tax Committee, and we're surprised to hear about 30 seconds ago that it was going to be in State Affairs, but I appreciate your holding a hearing as well. 1276. Is brought by Iberdrola Renewables to correct a tax problem that occurred for them on the construction of the Buffalo Ridge 1 wind farm project. Buffalo Ridge 1 is a 50 megawatt project located in Brookings County. It's their second project over there. And they began construction in 2007, which triggers the date on which you need to apply for your sales in-use tax refund, contractor's excise tax. So that with it got a signal from the South Dakota PUC that they would not need a permit to construct the project and started that fall. They wanted to hurry up and get some foundations and roads in. When you break ground, then that triggers your date. You have 180 days after that to apply for your sales tax refund. That project had some problems as well with the Indiana Public Service Commission, that the output from that project was going to go to Indiana, and it ultimately did. But they had some hurdles to cross there, and once those were done, they began to put their project in shape. Came back and applied for their sales tax refund in January of this year, which was well past the date upon which they could have been granted the permit by Mr. Kinsman. That's me.
Oh, my. No words. Oh, oh, my, again. No words need be spoken.
I had bad days go from, from bad to worse.
Yeah.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that. So the situation at 1276 then, Iberdrola is a business partner of the state of South Dakota, currently permitting a 300-megawatt project to be located in Brookings and Dual Counties, and they have other leases in South Dakota as well. It's been characterized by my contact on this, Tim Seck, who's the developer, is a speed bump, a hurdle that the company would like to get over. The economics of the project, where it was a $100 million project, Buffalo Ridge 1, they're significantly tilted by the failure to get their property, or excuse me, their sales tax and contractor's excise tax refund negatively affected. That project will pay about $4-plus million in contractor's excise tax and sales tax. The bill, as it's been amended and put in shape by the House Committee, would give them 75% of the refund to which they otherwise would have been entitled. So it'll be about $1.6 million, we figure, will be the refund. 95% of that will come in fiscal year 12. It would come on July 1st, 2011, which is fiscal year 12. So Iberdrola is a long-term business partner with South Dakota. They'd like to be, they'd like to get over this hurdle, this speed bump, and would ask for your favorable consideration on 1276.
Thank you. Other proponents of House Bill 1276? Other proponents? Do we have opponents? Opponents of House Bill 1276?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Weiss from the Department of Revenue and Regulation. Thank you. 1276 is an act to change the time period that an applicant can file for a permit to obtain a refund. Currently, under South Dakota law, you can apply for a permit within 180 days after you break ground. You can also apply for a permit before you break ground. So that is what is in the current law. If you apply for a permit, obviously, after the 180 days has expired, your permit is going to be denied, and you're not going to be able to get a refund for that particular project. This bill only applies to 1 month, in other words, 1 month, October month 2007. That's 31 days. And as far as we can tell, the one-month window is designed for one company. The bill has been in three different versions. We started out with, when we looked at it originally, we identified three possible companies that the bill would apply to. It was amended, and then we thought that that may have narrowed it down to one, and then it was amended again. So I think we're back up to three companies that we know of. And there could also be, obviously, other companies that we don't know of that this could apply to if they, by chance, commence construction during that particular month. Fiscally, we're looking at about $2.3 million as a fiscal impact. It could be more depending on the companies that we don't know about. We think that when we have time periods in the law, we think that it's overall probably a bad policy to go ahead and grant waivers of time periods to folks that that miss those time periods. For example, I'm a lawyer. If we don't file a lawsuit in a timely fashion, you could have the best lawsuit in the world, but your lawsuit can't go forward. So we think that this is presenting to this legislature a bad policy. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is currently how many folks have timely applied to show that it isn't that difficult. If the page would hand this out, please. We have, you know, we have many folks that have applied for this construction refund system, 48 different entities, in fact, and they have project costs of estimated project cost of $5.5 billion, and they've been refunded up to today's date $46 million of sales use and contractors excise tax. As far as we can tell, we have about $143 million of sales use and contractors excise tax for these 48 folks that have timely applied. And I guess my point is that if they could figure out how to do it, why not this particular company? The other thing that I did is I went to the internet, and on the internet, the department's website, we have the forms on how to do it, the tax refund or delay programs. And on the very first page, it says, when you're supposed to do it. It says, complete the refund application and submit to the department prior to the construction date or up to 180 days after the construction date. I mean, it's not difficult, and in fact, the form is right there. I guess the bottom line is that we have a lot of companies, a lot of entities out there that have applied for this 10-45B refund system. They could figure out how to do it right. And is it a good idea from an overall legislative policy point of view to go ahead and say, well, okay, so you missed your time deadline in the statute. We're going to let you have a do-over, so to speak. And I just don't think that's a good policy point of view, because we could see that in many different fronts. We could see that in my lawsuit example, where I, as the lawyer, failed to file the complaint timely. I'd like to have a do-over too, for example. So I think in a general sense, I think that this bill is a very bad policy road down which this legislature should go. We need to have time periods so we can have some certainty and finality in the system, and they have to apply to everybody equally. And with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I respectfully submit that this bill should be deferred to the 41st day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other opponents from House Bill 1276? Other opponents? House Bill 1276. Opportunity for rebuttal.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the chance to rebut Mr. Wiestek. I'll be up front with the committee. Right in my fact sheet that I put together, it says that their first project, the Mid Dakota project, they applied in a timely fashion. They knew what the rules were. I'm going to be just completely upfront with you about that. However, this is a company with a long-term prospect for South Dakota to significantly alter the economics of a number of regions and perhaps the whole state. Their next project is going to be $750 million of investment in South Dakota with a large number of landowners who are going to receive payments, as well as taxes coming to the state to be spread back to the local community school districts and wherever else. And I guess I'm surprised to hear the administration, from its usual pro-business friendly standpoint, we want to be a business partner with you. Well, except if you miss the deadline, then we don't want to be your partner, apparently. This is not how business partners should or would treat each other, and I would ask you to consider it from that point of view as you decide how to vote on this matter this morning. Thank you.
Members of the committee, questions for proponents or opponents? Questions? Close for committee discussion and action. Senator Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could have the pages hand out a couple things. One is an amendment to the bill, and there are some extra copies of the amendment. And the other is a copy of the significant provisions of SDCL 1045B, which is the refund statute. I think there's only sufficient copies there for committee members or maybe a few extras, but this is just the existing statute. The amendment which is being distributed would be a hoghouse amendment on this bill, and basically tighten up the criteria on a prospective basis for that is set forth in 1045 B1-1, which would make clear that linear projects like pipelines, power transmission lines, railroads would not be eligible for this refund incentive. I think if, you know, I would just draw your attention in the existing existing 1045B on page 1 of that, what's page 52 down at the bottom. It says the definition of a project for the sales and the refund of contractors' excise tax is the definition of a project as a new agricultural facility or a new business facility at a single site. Again, I think that reference, the statement of single site, is pretty powerful in indicating that the intent was not to allow what I'll call linear projects to be included. Why don't you see if anybody else wants those? Then I would draw your attention to 1045B1.1, which is on the next page, numbered 53 at the bottom. Again, a new business facility means a new building or structure or the expansion of an existing building or structure. Again, I think the whole language here and the concepts suggest that these were single plants type of facilities. And then you can see in 1045B1.1, we already prohibit retail establishments from using this refund prospect, residential or hotel type facilities, healthcare facilities, and tax exempt facilities that wouldn't be subject to property taxes. I was heavily involved in the adoption of these definitions in 2005, and then some changes in the schedule, the calculation of the refund in 1045B5.1 on page 54 and 55 of this handout. All these things occurred in 2005 and 2006, and I was very heavily involved. It never, ever crossed my mind, nor do I think it crossed the mind of anybody that was involved in that we would be giving linear projects refunds. And it's my understanding that we have, in fact, approved refunds for some linear projects, and this amendment does not propose to roll back the clock. It is designed to be prospective, but I think this new addition, which is subdivision 5, saying that pipelines, railroads, power transmission lines, or other linear conveyance or transmission facility are not eligible for the refund, is just consistent with the original intent. I would see this as helping us preserve a very valuable tool, and I just don't think that the, I think the refund program is one of the real tools in our economic development program that's very valuable when it's used in its true purpose, which is for this, the establishment of a new plant or new or expansion of an existing plant or facility. I just don't see that it was ever intended for linear projects, and I just don't think linear projects fit the use of this type of development tool very much. So with that, I would move the amendment, which does not is not on the LRC system, doesn't have a number, but has been distributed.
We have a motion to amend. Do we have a second? We have a motion. We have a second. Is there a discussion? We have Senator.
I have a question for Senator Knudsen. You said that, I guess in the last line, it says that the date of the project occurs before July 1st, 2009. So if they haven't began construction of any sort,
I think,
Senator.
Chairman, I believe the word before should in fact read after July 1, because the intent is there's certain projects come before the department and file for the refund claim and then start to get their refund claim approved, as I understand it, and then start their construction. And so this would, the intent is to grandfather in those that are already have been granted the permit and start their construction. I think the I think the grandfather provision there, if I can change this, I think in the very last line it should be where the permit is granted by the department before. I think the word before is correct, that they both have to have received the permit has been approved before July 1 of this year, and they've started construction before July 1 of this year. So I think the language is probably correct the way it
is as written.
So this would grandfather companies that have made a conscious business decision to invest in South Dakota?
That would be the intent, yes.
Because otherwise, I was going to say, some of the money that we're saving, Mr. Chairman, that we would have to put back into a budget to go recruit Bob Barker out of retirement to ask companies that we are trying to recruit into South Dakota to pick door number one, two, or three to decide what their tax rate's going to be. The way that I understood this was that we were going, it looks to me like your intent is to say that if you're in the hopper and we're going to change this on you now, which seems to me like a little bit of a bait and switch. So if you wouldn't mind just further clarifying that that's your intent, is to grandfather the ones that have already made the decision and announcement to invest here, that they're fine, and we'd move forward from a date certain, which looks like July 1.
So Mr. Chairman, yeah, and Senator Gray is also telling me we may need to be at ease for a second to work on Section 2's language.
Committee will be at ease for
those that are already in the queue, if you will, and have been approved.
Committee will be at ease.
If you look at Section 2 of that amendment, you need to insert the word not after apply and then delete the word insert the word not after the word shall and then delete the word only. So it would read, the provisions of the Act shall not apply to any project where the permit is granted and construction date of the project occurs before July 1, 2009. And I would, with the permission of the second, revise the proposed amendment to read that way.
We have a motion. We have a second.
I give permission.
Yes. Motion, second. We have a motion and a second to amend. Is there additional discussion? Additional discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment passes. That then brings us to House Bill 1276 as amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gray.
Might get a page, please.
Senator Gray.
I have another amendment. And I was looking to put this on this bill or another bill, regardless of what we did. In looking at the sales tax refunds throughout the session, one of the things that's frustrated me and the revenue department passed this out to us, is we don't know the names of some of the businesses that have gotten the refunds. Now, I'm not asking in this amendment to for any applicant, but anybody who has been paid the refund, I think, should be public information. So that's what this amendment would accomplish.
We have Amendment 1276 TB. We have a motion. We have a second. Motion, Senator Gray. Second, Senator Abdallah. Is there discussion? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment 1276 TB passes. That then brings us to House Bill 1276 as amended. House Bill 1276 is amended. Is there discussion? We have a do-pass motion from Senator Heiderprin. We have a second from Senator Knutson. We have a motion. We have a second. Is there discussion? Senator Knutson.
Well, I think both these amendments are healthy additions to this very valuable economic development tool that we have for South Dakota. It's one of our most important tools. I think, again, this the non-linear project necks it down to what it was really intended to be useful for, and I think the transparency amendment from Senator Gray is going to give the public more confidence in the that we're properly utilizing this tool. So I certainly would urge the committee to send the bill out to pass.
House Bill 1276 is amended. Is there additional discussion? 1276 is amended. The motion is due pass. Ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Abdallah?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Heiderprin?
Aye.
Knutson?
Aye.
Olson?
No.
Roden?
No.
Gray?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye. House Bill 1276 passes with the due pass motion. Ask
Chairman?
Senator Gray?
You know, I think we may need a title amendment. I'm not sure on Senator Knutson's amendment, but on mine, I had one drafted, and it doesn't fit quite as I expected it would. But I think we may need to adopt something.
Senator Knutson?
Yes, I think actually both the amendment, my amendment, and the amendment for Senator Gray require a title amendment. I think Dave Ortbaum is hopefully working on making the appropriate amendment for the title.
We have a motion for a title amendment. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Is there discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment passes. I believe that concludes our agenda this morning. Ask for a motion to adjourn.
So
motion, second, discussion. All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
We stand adjourned.